Realtalk4Radio.com.
Join me, Rebecca Christensen-Mapson, in real time for real topics on Real Talk with Rebecca on 4Radio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
American Hat Company is known throughout the world as the hat preferred by rodeo champions, ranchers, everyday cowboys, cowgirls, and rodeo fans. From the arena to the boardroom, no one does it better. Handmade in Bowie, Texas, American hats are made with tradition in the old-fashioned way. From the finest in felts to the best in straws, there is an American hat for every occasion. The CB Cowgirls are proud to have our ambassadors wearing the number one hat in the world. Thank you, American Hat. Find your own American hat at your favorite retailer. American Hats, handcrafted since 1950.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
This is 4Radio, the media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. I want to welcome you all here to 4Radio. If you are on with us today and you are working in the background, just go ahead and mute your phone if you're not talking, because I'm going to put all of your microphones to be hot. And again, thank you again for joining us tonight. Hold on a second. I can still hear someone typing in the background, so I want to turn it off. Again, if you're on with us, your mics are live, and just mute them on the background, and that would be helpful. Before we start, I'm going to ask Becky Christensen-Mapson, who is our Miss Ambassador for Living Royal and the American Cowboy. Becky, if you can unmute. Today's topic is pretty deep as we talk about silence being deadly and suicide prevention. We're going to be talking about it, but I would like for you to open us up in prayer.
Thanks, Maria. I just want to welcome everybody onto the show. It's been a while since we've been together, and I'm very, I don't want to use the word excited, but I am very interested in this conversation today because it's one that needs to be had. It's unfortunate that it's on such a solemn day and reason why we're having to have this conversation again, but we need to be having it daily. And so I just ask everyone where they're at, if they just bow their heads, and we'll just take to prayer and ask the Lord to be present. So, Father, I just lift up this time right now where we're all gathered. You say two or more are gathered together in your name, your Holy Spirit is present. So I just ask, Lord, that you would fill the hearts, the mouths, and the minds of those that are listening and those who speak today, Lord, and that you would share your heart through them about this topic that has just become such a precarious thing right now, that we're having to deal with suicide so prevalent in our society. And Lord, I just know that it's because our society needs more of you and less of the world. And the world is just a place where it's dim and it's dark right now, Lord, but you are the light. Your Son is the light. And Lord, I just pray that we can talk about the things, especially for those that have family members, Lord, that have walked through seasons of depression or are dealing with depression, Lord. I lift those family members up to you right now, that they would find a place here that's safe to be able to share their heart and to share their experiences and to share the rawness of what it's like to have a family member that they love dealing with suicide. And, Lord, I also just pray for those that are dealing with mental health, Lord, that they would also know this is a safe place, and that we are all here collectively because we love you, and because we love you, we love others. And we just want to help and serve and be the light that you call us to be, to lead them to you so that they have a hope, so they have a future, because that's your plan for them, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For you know the plans that you have for us, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope, and not of fear. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this time. I lift up now, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, Chelsea, and you know her, Lord, Miss USA. I lift her family up to you and her friends and those in the pageant world that have been touched so greatly and so deeply by her loss. We know that she had a light and she shined and she you know, warmed people wherever she was at. So, Lord, she's with you now, and I just pray that in this time you guard it, you protect it, and you use it for your good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And again, let me just share a little bit with you about this beautiful soul that we're going to be talking about today, but really we're going to be pushing further beyond just speaking about her, but talking about depression and talking about how depression creates deep despair and an overwhelming illusion that there is no way forward in life. Remember, looking good and doing good things doesn't equate to feeling and thinking good. So we are here today because we all care. And the beautiful woman by the name of Chesley, I think is how I'm pronouncing it, Chris, was an African-American beauty queen, lawyer, model, and television presenter. She was the 68th woman to hold the title of Miss USA. She was born in Jackson, Michigan, in the United States, to a Polish-American father named Rodney and an African-American mother named April. Chelsea was raised by her mother and her stepfather, David Simpkins. Today is 3 days after Chelsea decided to take and make a choice that a lot of women that I know, even men, have thought about or who have attempted. I want to share a little bit about Chelsea because some of us think that we aren't enough. Well, I'm telling you, she was so much more than enough. So it's such a sad thing for my heart to think about what she must have been thinking, what she must have been going through in her last moments. You see, she attended Northwest High School in Rock Hill, where she won Miss Freshman. In 2009, she graduated from Fort Mill High School, and there, she won Miss Fort Mill High School. In 2013, she was in the trial bar competition finals and graduated from Darla Moore School of Business of the University of South Carolina in Columbia. In 2016, she competed in Miss North Carolina at Miss North Carolina USA 2017, and she was a runner-up. She competed again in 2017, and she was in the top 10 in 2018. In that same year, she graduated at Wake Forest University Law School. And in 2018, she represented again at Miss North Carolina and won the title. In May of 2019, she represented North Carolina and won Miss USA in 2019. In September of 2019, she served as a special correspondent for Extra. And in December of 2019, she represented the U.S. at Miss Universe 2019, where she finished in the top 10. She received a nomination for Outstanding Entertainment News Program, both at the 47th Daytime Emmy and the 48th Daytime Emmy Awards. On December 13th, 2021, she served as the co-presenter at Miss Universe 2021 in Israel. And on January 30th, she decided to make a choice. And on the 29th floor on that terrace, she decided to end it all. The first person that I'm going to bring on, and I know that I told you that it was going to be you, Melissa, but hold on a second. We have our Miss U.S. Ambassador for Suicide Prevention, Brianna Carr, is here. So, Brianna, if you can unmute yourself, I would like for you to introduce yourself a little bit and share why you've chosen the platform of suicide prevention and then we will go right into you, Melissa.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brianna Karras. I have been affected by not only suicide, but mental illness most of my life. When I was 9 years old, my father committed suicide. I had left my mom as a single mom, and, you know, we kind of struggled for most of our life. But my mom was amazing. She was strong. She was intelligent, and I think she did a really good job raising me. She did, however, struggle with what I believe to be bipolarism, knowing as an adult. As a kid, I just thought she had mood swings. I had no idea. So looking back now as an adult and speaking to some of my family members, I believe that she was bipolar. So fast forward a bunch of years. I am pregnant with my second child. My mom is going through a breakup with her boyfriend of 10 years, and it's pretty hard. So I moved her in with me. She was really, really struggling. I kept trying to get her to see somebody, to go to a doctor, to go to a counselor, to go to anybody. She went and visited and stayed with my grandmother, who's about 350 miles away at the time, for a week. I talked to her on the phone every day. She seemed to be doing okay. So my birthday was Sunday, January 30th, the day that kind of brought us all here today.
That's right.
I remember her calling me, and she was just bawling. But she was calling to wish me happy birthday. I could just hear in her voice that she was not in a good place. But I knew she was with my grandmother, and she was being looked after. So she came home. My son's birthday is today, February 3rd, so just 4 days later. She came home. She did not celebrate with us for her grandson's birthday, her only grandson, because I'm an only child. And then 6 days later, she shot herself in front of me. Remember, I have a two-year-old, and I am 6 months pregnant. It was the worst day of my life ever. She was my best friend. I knew she had been struggling, and actually that day I was trying to get her in the car, and I was going to take her to the hospital. Because here in Montana, especially Missoula, the only place you can take somebody struggling in a mental crisis is the emergency room. We don't have mental health centers that you can take people to. So you have to take them to the emergency room. Being a more rural community, and so many places struggle with that, with the help that people need. There's not enough practitioners. There's a giant stigma around mental illness and suicide, especially in rural communities. You know, you just got to tough it out. It's fine. Don't show your emotions. Well, it's not true. We need to be talking about it more, and I'm so happy to see it talked about more on mainstream and social media and the news. Like, it is much more talked about now than it ever has been, and I am very thankful for that. So that's my story. That is why I advocate for suicide prevention. I have a whole slew of statistics that are not happy statistics, but information that needs to get out there. Maria, I'm not sure what all you want me to share today.
Actually,
last minute.
That actually leads us into your show that we will do, and we will talk about that a little bit soon, because this topic is so important, especially when we're dealing with so much right now. Melissa, are you with us on the phone? Melissa Young?
I am. I'm with you.
Melissa.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, can you hear me okay?
Again, I can hear you so well. And number one, ladies, Melissa Young is Miss Wisconsin 2005 for the USA system. I would like for you to share a little bit about yourself, but before you do, I first want to say I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend. Melissa's driving as we're speaking right now. So thank you for taking the time. Again, this is such a heavy topic, and again, this is a heavy moment. But if anyone who knows Melissa Young, your shoulders are some of the strongest I've ever known. So please share a little bit about who you are and the topic of conversation today because of who you are and what you have walked through, what God has had you walk through. I want you to share about the sisterhood under the umbrella of pageantry because Chelsea was such a beautiful representation of all of our hopes and dreams of pageantry. So, and there's such a bond of sisterhood. So I would like for you to share a little bit about who Melissa is, why you're here, and why sisterhood is so important.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Maria. I cannot say enough about the sisterhood of pageantry. It really, personally in my life, I can honestly say that it saved me in so many ways. My heart just breaks for Chesley and her family and her friends. And, you know, this sisterhood is very unique. It's an experience that not a lot of people have the pleasure, the honor of going through. And we all kind of have this special bond that connects us. And it's, you know, Chesley's situation kind of reminds us that we need to check in on each other. We really do. And when people seem to be doing okay, that's maybe when we really need to reach out the most, when everything seems okay. You know, people are hiding so many things. But, yeah, this is just a sad, sad topic and not one that I've spoken on because it didn't affect my life, before now. Truthfully, but after being crowned Miss Wisconsin USA in 2005, and then I was awarded Miss Congeniality at the Miss USA pageant that year, it was the first year, I think, and still to this day, that it was ever unanimous that all 50 states voted for one woman to become Miss Congeniality, which was probably the greatest honor of my life because I wasn't being chosen on, you know, it wasn't like Miss Photogenic, it wasn't anything like that that was based on appearance or something that was superficial, but based on who I am in my heart. And so honestly, that was one of the greatest moments for me in that I obviously made beautiful, beautiful, lasting friendships. I mean, these ladies aren't just my friends, they're my sisters in Christ and sisters, and I call them my sisters. They really showed up for me about 9 years later. I was receiving my last rites in a hospital bed due to a doctor's medical negligence, and I was just given about 48 hours to live and have. This time I had a little boy, and he's at my bedside kneeling and praying, and my husband at the time as well, saying goodbye to me. And the priest, when he was giving me my last rites, he, the host in my mouth, and he had to pull it out about 5 minutes later because it never dissolved. I had no saliva. I was crying, but I had no tears to expel. No one could see that I was crying. When the priest let go of my hand, the skin from my hand came off like a glove. He was still holding the skin from my hand. So really the only pulse they could find was on the tip of my earlobe. So I really was, not long for this world. And in that moment, my Miss USA sisters came in full force, as well as then Mr. Trump, who, before he was the president. They all stepped forward and were champions for me. Former Miss USA 2005 Chelsea Cooley, she got on a plane, came to Wisconsin. She stayed in my home for, weeks. Sometimes a month at a time. They were there and rallied around me and knew that there was
a purpose for my life and that it wasn't time for me to go. And I honestly don't believe that I would be here without that support. Not that I didn't want to live. I desperately wanted to be here for my little boy, and because there's so much that I want to do, and I really, truly love life. But just because my body was failing, my spirit was very much alive, but my body was not. And honestly, I do remember a physician saying to me there was no medical explanation as to how I was still here. And my response to that now is keyword was medical, because it was so much greater than that. And I have to say, without that experience of pageantry, I wouldn't have those beautiful people in my life that sat with me through surgeries, who Chelsea would, Miss USA 2005, would sit and she would lay in the bed with me and do, in the middle of the night, do my injections, do everything. She was literally, had no medical experience, but had to become like a nurse to me. And Shandy Finnessy, Miss USA 2004, got on the horn and started, you know, kind of this prayer chain. And I was receiving hundreds and hundreds of letters from not just people in the pageant community, but just people who had heard about it from her and wanted to reach out and send me words of encouragement. So I can't tell you what that did for my spirit. Literally, it was so powerful. It lifted my lifeless body to its feet. Now, I'm not one that would have ever asked for those things. I'm quite painfully private. People don't know that about me, but people didn't know my circumstances. I had just shared it with some of my former Miss USA friends, because I knew I was, you know, going to die, really, and I wanted to tell them how much they meant to me. And so I had reached out right before I was receiving my last rites while I could, and they just took over. They took it upon themselves to just jump in and not on our watch. We've got you. And I can't tell you what that has done for my life. And I pray to God that I can be that sort of friend. I'm so sad about Chesley, Miss USA, 2019, about what happened with her. It's just so devastating and so tragic. And I think to myself, if we could have all gotten on the horn and we could have been there for her, would the story be different? I don't know that for sure, but I do know that it did save my life.
Which brings us to the topic of, we could see what was going on with you. We could see the pain that you were going through. We could physically actually see it. And so we, of course, reached out. But it's those that are suffering in silence that we reach out, but they're fine. So there's still something else we need to talk about, right? And which brings us open, I'm opening up to Renee. Renee, are you on with us?
I am.
Renee, again, you are Miss Transcontinental 2022 in the sisterhood of pageantry, as Melissa was just sharing. This is why we're all here. And I want you to share a little bit about yourself, why you're here. You are also our Miss Washington Ambassador for PTSD. CPTSD is what you've been diagnosed with, which is complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And before you speak, I used to work at a organization where I created engagement rings, and everything was always so happy and wonderful and terrific. And I was always underlined with this major depression of, wow, you know, I'm alone. But there was something that Annie, my boss, had said to me, and I want to share it with you before you start to speak to the audience. It's women like you I pray for most, because you seem okay when you might not be. That was something that stuck with me, because I deal with so many women that I reach out to, and Linda will let you know too, how many times when I know someone needs, I'll just send you, are you okay? So Renee, why don't you share a little bit about who you are and why you're here and why, when you look okay, why sometimes you may not be okay.
Okay. So, like she said, I was diagnosed with complex post-traumatic stress disorder in about 2 years ago. I was in two abusive relationships when I was younger and finally was to my breaking point and went and seeked help. I actually recently got diagnosed with depression too, something I wasn't diagnosed with earlier. I'm not sure why. But so hearing about Chesley really struck a chord with me. And I think why it bothered me so much was because people will look at a celebrity or someone who's very successful and say, what do they have to be depressed about? If I only had half of what they had, I would be super happy. And so a lot of people in society who do have wealth, fame, or are successful, who do have depression, they hide it from people because they are looked at as being a drama queen or seeking attention. I mean, why could I be sad if I have all these things? So they bottle up inside and they don't talk about it. And you finally get to a breaking point where you have enough. I mean, you can't go forward. You're too embarrassed to, or you're too shy to because of how society makes you look like you're overreacting. So Chesley said something in an interview that I just want to repeat because it's so true. She said, no matter how successful someone is, it doesn't make them happier. And with my depression, I am constantly shielding it from people because I'm supposed to be in a position where I'm happy, where I'm helping others. And so I'm too afraid to show that I'm depressed because people will wire you depressed or say that I'm weak or say that I'm seeking attention. So even though somebody is successful, it does not mean that they can't have depression. I think people are confusing depression with stress or grief, and depression has nothing to do with material things. Robert Williams. He seemed to be so incredibly happy, but on the inside, he was hurting so bad, and I feel like nobody would listen to him or take him seriously, and he felt so alone to the point where he just couldn't take it anymore.
Very true. There's something that Chesley's mother said, and I want to read it. While it may be hard to believe, it's true. Chesley led both a public and private life. In her private life, she was dealing with high-functioning depression, which she had hid from everyone until very shortly before her death. High-functioning depression. This is something that I see in so many women, high-functioning depression. It's so deep that some of us don't even know that it's there. It's just a constant thing that we have been dealing with, living with. Some of us know where it came from. Some of us don't. Some of us don't want to ever look at where it came from. Our next guest and our final guest is a woman that... I'm so excited that she's gone into this field. But before we introduce her, I'm going to have our Miss Ambassador for Children's Safety come on, Linda Berg-Herring. Linda, Teresa is a wonderful person and a wonderful friend, and you brought her into my life, and I would like for you to share with the audience a little bit about yourself and why you brought Teresa in and share a little bit about Teresa as she shares with our audience. And if there's anyone who is listening that has things that are so secret, so deep, please listen to what you're going to hear because God has some tools for you. Linda?
Okay. Hi, everybody. It's good to be here. I've known Teresa for, I was trying to figure out how long, many years. We met through a networking group of business people. And she just, I'm going to talk about her instead of me, by the way. she just has a huge, huge giving heart and a helping heart. And I've been working on bringing her into the fold. I introduced her to Maria. I think she'll be an awesome addition to all of us and especially helpful with this particular topic. Teresa is an emotional wellness coach, a certified emotion code practitioner, a licensed spiritual healer and a certified raindrop technique specialist. All of us have, you know, emotional baggage. Everybody does, whether they admit it or not. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are really good at hiding it. Some not so much. But I think everybody can use some assistance. And Teresa is the perfect person for just that. So it gives me a pleasure. I don't like the reason we're all here, but I'm honored and pleased to introduce Teresa.
Hi, everybody. I'm very honored to be invited. Can you hear me?
Yes,
Maria.
You are loud.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you for having me on here, Maria. Thank you for that wonderful, very sweet, brought a tear to my eye, Linda, with your introduction. And I value your friendship. We've been friends for, I think, 5 years. And I think our friendship has evolved. I didn't realize how, you know, that meeting that I joined because of all the cute guys around in that community would lead to a very precious and valuable relationship with Linda and Maria. So, and then find myself here. So I was listening intently to what everybody was saying, and I'm truly, I could hear your hearts, ladies, as you were speaking. And just like this radio program, right? Each of us is like a radio station, and we're constantly broadcasting the energy of our thoughts, which emanate from us. However, some of these thoughts actually may not have come from us. And if we look at our overall health and how this condition has been viewed from one school of thought, which is the Western medicine world, they will only look at it as diagnosis and that which is of the body. What would it look like if we saw it in a different, from a different perspective? And really the best way to heal the body is the mind, which we think depression is, or which is widely discussed, is an issue of the mind. But what if we looked at healing the whole body? And there are studies, books that have come out of this, because if we look at somebody's overall wellness, we are also looking at one's mental, emotional, and spiritual avenues, or that holistic approach, not just the physical body. And I really got interested in looking at our health and supporting our health from that aspect way back in the 90s, because I couldn't understand why I was having such respiratory issues. And that led me to really facing the fact that I had a lot of bottled up emotions, things from childhood. Unlike you, Lee, I was on the other side. It's more of an emotional, verbally abusive childhood. And looking at the ancestry, how that was being handled for generations before me, I actually inherited that, or my genes were of that environment and were likely to manifest continuously, as you know, with my offspring. But those repressed emotions, they will manifest in the physical body at some point. And for me, it was expressing itself as, you know, respiratory issues. So I suffered from lung failure. And what are the emotions tied to the lungs? It's grief. It's unexpressed crying. It's deep, deep sorrow. It's not just an occasional one. It's it goes and circles back into childhood issues, maybe even prenatal ones, or just generational ones, or things that we've absorbed from our parents, from family members. And if we don't look at it from that point of view, we cannot like really weed out these feelings or these situations because we're not looking at the root. Everything else is like addressing the plant that grows out of the weeds, you know, above ground, but what is pulling out those roots? And there are different approaches nowadays to do that. And that's what led me to what I do now, which is like emotional wellness coaching and being an emotional code practitioner. And while most of my clients have been coming to me because of business, they actually discover through our sessions that their blocks are rooted in childhood issues, depression included, abuse included, lack of approval, and all these things. So this manifests your condition or your diagnosis is just, how would I say, a term that was used by Western medicine, that school of thought, but it goes much deeper than that. So we can detoxify our lives on the physical level from adjusting our diet, you know, looking at the hormones, removing even toxic chemicals, because they, you know, Western thought looks at it as a chemical imbalance, and removing chemicals from the body, even sugar, supporting the thyroid, lessening inflammation contributes to that, the gut health. But what about things that we cannot see? What about things that have been lodged in our subconscious? So from different modalities now, including aromatherapy, we tap in to those traumatic memories and trapped emotions that are actually stored in our subconscious and bring them up to a level where we can release that. Now, I love it because it's a non-invasive procedure. It's not talk therapy. And I find that using aromatherapy with this practice actually targets that part of our brain that does not respond to speech, but responds to the to sense. Our sense of smell is very, very powerful. It directly relates to memory, especially traumatic ones. So I feel that maybe it's a great way to help people who cannot even tap or speak about such painful experiences, or even with children who are not capable of verbalizing their feelings. And who knows what we'll discover, and who knows what's on the other side after we get those roots out.
Wow. And again, this is why I think what you're doing is awesome, because there is, especially when it comes from child sexual abuse, there's a lot of things that are still within that a lot of children don't even remember. It's so compartmentalized within them that your type of therapy really can draw it out with them not even being able to speak about it. So I think it's really amazing. So will you share a little bit about where people can get a hold of you, Teresa? And then I'm going to thank all the callers for calling in, and we're going to open it up for any questions. So if you have any questions, go ahead and unmute your mic. But first, Teresa, why don't you share a little bit how people can get a hold of you? Because, again, I would love every pageant woman that comes into our pageant systems to automatically do a session with you, simply because who knows what we have hidden, and silence is deadly. So why don't you share where we can get a hold of you, Teresa?
I would love to. Yes, silence is deadly, definitely. But if you do, here's the thing. If you do have, you know, you have a loved one who is clearly showing signs of going over that deep end, please find call suicide prevention. That's also the boundaries of our practice as a licensed spiritual healer. If this comes up in conversation, we need to seek the, you know, professionals in that area. In the meantime, those, if you are still, how would I say, keeping it together, but you know that, what would I say, heading in that direction, by all means, you know, reach out and let's see how we can work together or how I can help you. On Instagram, you can find me as Techiefeely, that's T-E-C-H-I-E underscore F-E-E-L-Y. On Facebook, you just find me as Teresa Valmonte. If Maria's your friend, you'll find me on her friends list. But it's Teresa G. Valmonte. Just message me. I would be happy to chat with you. I do everything remotely. But if you're local to me, I live near Linda, just like in Orange County, Southern California. If you're in my area, I do accept like personal, you know, in-person clients. So, yes.
Thank you.
Did I answer everything?
Again, if you are,
Maria?
Yes, you did. You did. Thank you. And yes, if anyone is struggling and need to speak to specific suicide prevention, our National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-55. Again, that's 800-273-8255. And does anybody have any questions? Just go ahead and speak up, since everyone's mic is hot. How about Deborah? Because I know Deborah is here. Deborah, thank you for joining us. Would you like to share a little bit about who you are? And do you have any questions, Deborah?
Hi there. Thank you so much for asking. My title is Ms. Transcontinental Classic. And Chesley's death hit me pretty hard. I did not know her well. We only had a few conversations, but, you know, quite honestly, it's been very difficult to wrap my head around it. And unfortunately, I've had some experience with suicide in my life. I lost my 16-year-old niece to suicide about 20 years ago.
So sorry.
Thank you. I lost my brother to suicide 6 years ago last month. And I lost two dear friends a year ago last month to suicide.
Mm.
Yes. And one of my mom's best friends, we lost her to suicide this past year. You know,
Dear
and
Lord.
It, as each person is individual, is as the reasons that they may have felt that they couldn't go on any longer. And the one thing that I learned significantly with my brother, he had struggled for years. It was not his first attempt. But I think that people sometimes, you know, get to a point where that it's not that they want to die. It's not that they want to leave us. It's that they can't take the pain any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And, you know, and it's true. So many people, you know, do put on the brave face and, you know, just go on about their lives. And it is a complete surprise. The two individuals that I lost a year ago last month, totally unrelated situations, but both of them just had an immediate sense of loss of all hope, and it just came on all at once. Now, neither of those two had any type of diagnosis of depressive disorders. But I do want to say this, and I don't talk about this publicly. I've talked about it in women's groups. But several years ago, I was going through a divorce, and I had some serious health crisis. And I was so distraught over a number of months that I sought help. And it was my neurologist. I was having migraines. And he just happened to also be a psychiatrist, and he told me, he said, you're suffering from high-functioning depression, and I had never heard that word before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard it, but I do have a sense of understanding, you know, of the struggle that Chesley must have been going through. I do have some understanding on that, but, you know, I'm so thankful, you know, that I did get counseling. I was on medication for a while. I am completely holistic and homeopathic now, but I was on so many medications, you know, for my illness and for treating everything, and then that you had the mental health issues on top of it. And it can become extremely overwhelming. But I thank God
every day. So let me ask you a
question. Sure.
How do you make a choice every day to remain in your happiness.
Ooh, and you know, it is a choice. That's the best way. I can't say that there are not days that, you know, I don't have a bit of sadness, but I have to remind myself, you know, that I am worthy. I am loved. I do have a purpose, and God intends for me to share that purpose. And getting out, helping the community, volunteering, speaking, helping women's groups, working with the homeless, you know, that is my purpose. And that's a big part. My faith and my purpose is what keeps me going.
And
I know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I know I am loved. But when you're so far down, it's hard to see up. When you're at the bottom, you cannot see that light that is above you. That's how bad it is for people who wind up deciding to take their lives. They just cannot see past the hurt, the pain, the feeling of hopelessness.
Which brings me to a question for you, Brianna, if you're still here. I see that you are. When you have family, friends, as you just said, Deborah, too, how do, what is life like on the other side, Brianna, as the ones that are surviving? What is it like to walk through life after something like this? This is for Brianna.
I would say it is really hard. It's a very traumatic loss. I still miss my mom almost every day. There's days I'm like, oh my gosh, the kids just did this. It was amazing. I got to tell my mom. You know, it's been 13 years. I don't say, you know, people are always like, it'll get better. I don't know that it gets better, but you personally get better at dealing with it, with the loss.
Exactly.
Because it's hard. It's there's so many unanswered questions, and there's so many, what if I could have done this? What if I could have done that? What if I would have seen, you know, but you can't put that pressure on yourself.
No, but I can imagine that it's something that the ones that are left behind, they do. As you know, my father's older, and there are times where he's told me over the last 5 years that this is probably something that he's going to do because he doesn't want to get to that place. And so how do you prevent it? How, especially if they don't want to, how do you prevent it from someone where everything looks great and all clues are masked because they are out there helping? They are out there in the public's eyes. Chelsea was everywhere. She was happy. She was educated. She had everything to look forward to. She spoke about mental health. She did all the self-care that needed to be done. So it's just incredible that this is what we're here speaking about today. And again, if you are struggling, I want you to call 800-273-8255. We have other callers if you would like to say anything. I don't know who they are. Marie, I know you're here. Would you like to say a few things? Because I know Marie is our Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD, and she has been on the other side of our crisis consultants with people that actually have called in on hotline. So, Marie, would you like to say a few words before we go?
Yes, it's very very heart-wrenching to listen to the pain of the women that I have talked to that were suicidal, but I just thank God that he gave me the right words to say to help them make it through another day. And most of it was I knew that they were in pain and they were hurting, but they really didn't want to die, if that makes sense. And most of them told me they had small children. And so that's what I would talk to them about. I would talk to them about, well, how do you think that would make your little girl feel if you did that? You know, she needs her mother, you know. And so that, you know, I usually would stay on the phone with them at least an hour or hour and a half, just letting them talk about whatever they needed to get it off their chest. And I also, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I also had this young boy that I helped teach in Sunday school that shot and killed himself when he was 16. And that was very hard because I was friends with his mother and both of his aunts, and one of them actually married my nephew, and my nephew is the one that found him. So it was really hard whenever I got that call because at that point in time I was in Indiana, so I had to be drove through a snowstorm to get back down here to be with family and to be with his family for his funeral and everything.
Yeah. It's amazing what these choices, how it affects us all and the rippling of it. And again, I want to thank everybody for being here today. I want to thank you all for taking the time. I want you to remember this beautiful soul who decided to make a choice for her life that is really going to make a positive effect, I believe, Brianna, because we're not going to let this go silent anymore. Mm-hmm. And her beautiful face and her voice will forever be out there as a representation of why we need to move forward with this platform. So, Teresa, if you're still there, Becky had to go, and I would like a pastor to close us out in prayer. If you would like to do that, let me know. Would you? I don't know if Teresa's still on
with
us. Oh, good.
I'm here.
Teresa's going to close us out in prayer, and then I want you to listen to a song after she finishes the prayer. And I just want you guys to look up. And when you hear the words of this song, just know that when you are looking to you, you're actually looking up to God. So again, thank you. I want to send special prayers out to all of those that are hurting, especially today. And Teresa, why don't you go ahead and close us out in prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather all of us here to listen to our hearts and not just hear our minds. We ask of you to be present in our lives every minute and guide us with your light and love. Always move from there, that place. And may your love find us in our darkest moments because only your light will get us out of there. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who cannot be with us today. We pray for those who have gone ahead of us today. And we also pray for those who desperately need to hear this message, your light being shine upon them. And help us find those who we can share your light with. In Jesus' name, amen.
And hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come, and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I look to you. sinking to rise no more, searching for that open door.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace. Destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me,